Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of work and kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea. Welcome back to Electric Ideas. Today's guest is Jonna Watson. Jonna is a school psychologist, writer, and illustrator. She's written and illustrated two children's books and is currently working on her third. Jonna is very passionate about many creative pursuits, including hiking, cooking, tap dancing, and sketching. She is a self-proclaimed over-functioner, but more recently, she's been focused on soulful learning and creativity. So outside of her day job and beyond all of these creative pursuits, she's also helping other women show up consistently for whatever creative pursuits make them feel sparkly. She does this by hosting a podcast called The 5-Minute Inner Child, where she interviews people who make room in their lives for their inner child. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry. We're going to talk about it a lot in this episode. So anyone who has worked with me knows I am all about exploring different avenues for reclaiming a sense of play and childlike curiosity and creativity in our adult lives. So many of my clients don't feel like they even know what they like anymore, or they feel like they forgot what it feels like to even feel unburdened and free. There are many different ways in which people explore and practice inner child work. I think it's powerful stuff and can truly breathe fresh energy and meaning into women's lives. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Let's get into it. Hi, Jonna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Whitney. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
I want to start here because I think it's pretty common that adults, especially women, get to a certain age and they get so used to running the trains and almost controlling their days that they forget what it feels like to even feel playful. Can you help us remember why it's even important, and perhaps especially so for these women who are leading kind of full, busy lives?
Well, that was me, and it is me. For one thing, just got to a point being a mom of four and a professional that I felt that I was just being led kind of by my to-do list, and I really wasn't making the time for just play and even showing up for my kids the way I wanted to in kind of more of a playful way. And I think that it really came down to a lot of even symptoms coming out in my physical health where my body was breaking down and it was saying, just slow down, rest, and pay attention. And so I just found that it was so necessary for me. And as I've started talking more about playfulness as a mom and even as a creator and as a professional, there's so much use for it in and of itself, but we're just so led by our to-do list that playing without a goal or outcome, just doing it just for the fun of it, it's just something that I think we lose as adults so easily.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that, like the playing just for fun, because that's something in my communities. I don't know if you've encountered this in your own show and talking with other moms and women, but there's often a need to attach an outcome to anything that is creative or playful. And I'm curious, because you're a school psychologist, if that is something we learn, if that's something we're born with, how do you think that women fall into this trap?
It's so interesting that you asked that question, because there's a really great study. It's kind of depressing, actually, where they looked at creativity in preschoolers, and then they did like this longitudinal study to see the percentage of kids that were creative. And then you see, like, it's in the 90-95% or something of children rating so high on creativity. And as time goes on and they're in school, and I think we kind of just learn to adapt to kind of be like others. We're learning all the social norms and things. And I don't know that it's necessarily ever said to us that we need to conform and be like everyone else. But I think that sense of uniqueness and creativity kind of starts to wear away a little bit as we grow older. And that's what the studies show too, that the percentage of students that are creative goes down. And it's like, what happened there? Like, that's my mind. Like, what is it that happened? And I do think that we start to learn the rules. We start to get into these roles of who we think we need to be. I know that's what it was for me. So I can't speak to what it is for everyone, what the reason is, but I know for me that was true. And I learned to play a role. And that role was to figure out how to navigate life in a way that kind of kept me safe. And it can feel a little bit scary sometimes to do the creative way of life, or even to just play a little bit, because when, you know, you do that, you open yourself up to feedback from others. It may not be perfect, all sorts of things that I think play and creativity kind of teach us. But to your point, I think that we all do start to, we start out as creative beings and we lose our way a little bit.
I agree. And I think that we all could use a little more plan our lives. I'm glad you actually mentioned kind of like the physical symptoms, like it shows up in so many ways. I think a lot of women could benefit from this. I feel like some women don't even know where to start or where to tap into that. I know that you host a show and you talk a lot about just ways to connect with our childlike selves. Can you give us some ideas on how we might integrate this into our daily lives without it becoming like a big to-do or something else on the list?
Right. When I started this practice, it actually started when I was celebrating my 40th birthday a couple years ago. And I was like, I want it to be a whole month. And so what I did was I ended up kind of taking each day and doing something that just was fun or creative or just playful for 5 minutes a day, because I wanted to celebrate. And what it ended up coming out of it, I ended up doing like a Facebook group and like 100 people joined me, a lot of whom I didn't know. It kind of just caught on. And so from there was when I started my podcast, because I was like, I think this is really something. People were really resonating with just playing for 5 minutes a day, apart from goals or outcomes. And so what I tried to do was really things that were either free, that didn't cause me to have to like leave my house. You know, I'm working, I have 4 kids, like I need things to be easy at this time in my life. I don't need it to be harder. And I also don't want it to be just another thing, like you mentioned, that I have to get done. So I really just tried to connect with myself in a way that was honoring or caused delight apart from goals or outcomes. That was the only rule really to it, was it needed to honor or delight for just 5 minutes a day, apart from goals or outcomes. So, you know, doing things like walking on crunchy leaves. It was in the fall, so that was like really easy for me, because as a child, I just loved that. And then, you know, me and my daughter, we, on our walks that we do, we walked in sync one day, because that was something that as a child, walking in sync just like made me laugh, where you both walked at the same time, the same pace. And I don't know, it's just a weird thing about me. Having dance parties, a lot of times when these things are more difficult for us to like think of, I would go back to like my 5 senses and like what were things just with my 5 senses connecting that way, bringing me back into the present moment, which really kind of goes along with all like the mindfulness types of techniques, that connecting with your 5 senses brings you to the here and now. So what are the things that I want to hear? What would really delight me, or something like that? Because it can be hard, I think, when you are devoting so much of your time and resources to others at this stage in your life, it can be hard. You kind of get disconnected and you can't even remember sometimes what it is that, what is it that you really like to do?
Yeah. And I, in my work with my clients, it's interesting when I've encouraged them to do something, like you said, that's like just for that delight factor, and it can be quick. One thing that has really been confirming for me and my teaching is how much of a ripple effect that can have on their day and their energy and also their interactions. I have an example from my life. You know, if I have a day where I have slipped into old programming and I've just been too serious and task oriented and maybe not taking care of myself, it's easy to, like, I have one child who likes to leave a lot of clothes on her floor. And if I've taken care of myself, I can play a little game where I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck? how are you putting your clothes in the hamper? And they're like jumping way over here, you know, and I can have a little levity in my conversations versus clean up your room, you know, and I sense a real difference. So I just think it's an interesting intersection with you being a school psychologist and very awake to playfulness. How do you think it informs us or supports us in being better parents?
So the thing is, even on kind of a neuropsych level, we have mirror neurons in our brain. So our kids, when we walk into a room, they feel it. We feel it as adults. If someone comes in and they're upset, we feel that our mirror neurons in our brains that something happens and we can either mirror back what we're seeing or we have choices. And as parents, it's kind of our job to be the ones in the room that is setting the tone versus our kids. So just from that standpoint alone, like the idea and the research on co-regulation and how we're showing up as parents actually impacts our kids. There's a whole research base for it. But if you're a parent, you know that too, that when you're having a bad day, it's going to happen. You're going to be showing up differently with your kids. And it happens for me too. It's like, yeah, like what you were talking about, the tone of voice when you're talking to your kids and making it playful versus, and like even an opportunity too for connection too, because yes, we want to be correcting our kids and making sure that they are doing their part as teammates in the house. But it's the difference between how we show up. And I know for me, it makes a huge difference.
I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your journey as you kind of were leaning into this play. My sense is that it opened up some creative wells within you that maybe you haven't tapped into for a while. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I would love to. So when this all started, you know, I really didn't know where it was headed. Like I said, this was just because I wanted to have fun with my 40th birthday. I did not know I was starting a podcast or that this would really turn into something that would start ending up doing some other creative things. So what ended up happening was I got back to creative writing. And that was something that as a child, I used to write books like crazy. I would write a book a day. And it was just something that I just loved. I mean, from just such an early age, I was invited at our school to part of a young authors conference in like fifth grade and sixth grade. Out of my whole school, I was chosen. So it was something that was just so a part of me. And unfortunately, I received some really harsh criticism on my books from a loved one. And it really just turned me off to writing. In fact, it was something that I knew had happened. I tried to take a creative writing course again in high school, and I just couldn't turn it back on. Like I tried. I was like, I want to get back to this. I know I used to write. Like what happened? And I just had this writer's block for like 30 years, which is crazy. But it really took getting back to myself and coming back to just letting it be fun and playful rather than it being like a class. I was kind of going through, if you've ever heard of this book, it's called The Power of the Other Hand. And it's this writer, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she talks about how writing with your non-dominant hand can sometimes let you do things or express yourself in ways that are maybe let things be imperfect a little bit more than if you're writing with your dominant hand. Now, I don't understand how it works exactly, but for me, that was actually how using my non-dominant hand was how I wrote my books. It's how I illustrated my books that I ended up publishing. So yeah, it was just this letting go process. And she talks about it in the books. She's written several on why this works and she's done workshops. I believe she's now passed away, but just the idea of when you use your non-dominant hand, because there's like this whole other hand that we don't use. And that when you use it, it exercises this side of your brain that doesn't get as much attention. And it's really about letting things go, letting things be messy. And so it's kind of interesting because I am not like a trained artist in any way. And I ended up illustrating both of the books that I ended up writing, which she talks about how sometimes people find that they can draw or write better with their non-dominant hand, which was something that I found out about myself because I did not know that. I was not something that I had ever figured out or anything. So
wow.
That's just like a little side note if anybody ever wants to try that. For me, it's been really transformational. And I ended up, like I said, writing two books. So
we'll make sure to capture that title in the show notes. It's interesting. I'd have to look more at her work, but it seems to me that it's possible too, just by switching to your non-dominant hand, almost like we're letting our guard down and not expecting perfection. And so we are allowing ourselves that playfulness and moving past our control brain a little bit. Does that make sense?
That really resonates with what happened for me. So when I started doing it, I didn't set out to write two books. I set out just kind of writing about my journey and my kind of like my why of why I was doing some of the projects I've been involved in and like what my narrative has been. So I started writing just kind of my own narrative with my left hand. And as I was writing these characters, I was like, it was like I'm a rubber band. And I sort of wrote Ruby the Rubber Band as a self narrative, but that was with my left hand. So I do think it was about just, yeah, letting my guard down, letting myself be seen as like just in the messy and imperfect and allowing it to just be. And like I said, I did not set out for that to be an outcome. It really was just in the moment. And I wrote this. I was like, this might be a book. I just wrote a whole book. So it was fun. And so, like I said, it really just wasn't something that I set out to do, but it kind of just came together through play.
Well, that's just a testament to what we've been talking about. Sometimes when you take the pressure of the world off and give yourself a little bit of space, it's amazing what flows through. So I think it's really fascinating that you illustrated that book with your left hand too. I had no idea. So tell us a little bit about Miss Ruby and her plight.
So Ruby the Rubber Band is a story about a rubber band. Ruby is so good at pleasing everyone else. She kind of stretches herself out because she's being stretched in all these different directions, saying yes to all of these things. So she gets so stressed out, she snaps. She has to go to the School of No, where she meets Miss True to Your Heart, and she gets sewn back together with this beautiful rainbow thread. And then she has to go back through and meet some of her friends. And what ends up happening is when her friends ask things of her, she kind of notices when her band starts twitching, which to me kind of relates back to just being tuned in with your body when you're knowing you're starting to get stretched out. And that's what Ruby ends up realizing, is that she can notice and pay attention and say no when those situations are coming up that don't necessarily align with what she wants to do.
Well, how beautiful that you've offered this, because I went through a period, my girls are in fifth and sixth grade now, and they read these big chapter books, which I celebrate and love. But I didn't realize how much I would miss books for younger kids, because I really found it as the best way to kind of broker important conversations with my children without it feeling like I was coming in hot with some big topic. Has there been any unexpected feedback about your book, or how has it been received?
I have had great feedback on it. I think the conversation of boundaries with kids is something that I wish someone had kind of talked to. I wish that I wrote that book really for the child. I needed that book when I was a child. It also self-describes kind of my journey. But I do think that writing books with more of a message is super relevant. I've had the opportunity to go to some like local elementaries and read my book. And just even the feedback that I've gotten from adults is like, I needed that book. Like reading that book was helpful for me. So I think whether it's for your kids or just to reinforce boundaries as an adult, it's really a conversation that's like ongoing, I think, is relevant for all of us.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about how as we grow older, we lose that sense of play. And sometimes I think we get cut off from a sense of wonder and curiosity too. Do you have any suggestions, being at that unique seat of a mom of four and a school psychologist, of how we can help continue to nurture curiosity and learning in our own children?
Well, you know, the way that it came up for me, for my kids, is as I was writing these books, it opened up an opportunity. Like with my son, he ended up doing the same thing that I, kind of the child that I used to be, he ended up writing last year, like a book a day. And so getting to see that this opened up something for him was just so huge. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that was going to be an interest for you. But I think that's why healing and doing the work on ourselves, you don't know what the payoff is going to be for your kids sometimes. So I think that for me, when it comes to like really staying within that curiosity and wonder, part of what led me down this path, I think, was asking some really different questions than what I normally would ask. As I was going through some of the healing myself with some of the physical symptoms, I noticed that my son, he had symptoms of autism that also kind of went away during the phase of time that I was working on this playfulness and also the physical healing. So we made some changes, and it was just crazy to see how that impacted my family. I asked questions, though, that were very different than, you know, autism isn't really supposed to go away. I say that with quotes. It's really supposed to be intractable, and this, and for some it is, but in our case, it was not. And I think that just staying curious and asking the questions that nobody else will ask, making time for rest and play, those are the things that have been healing in our family. For me, I have a meditative practice that I do in addition to like some of the playfulness and inner child work, but all of those things combined, you know, they're little steps, but when you add them all together, I think with consistency, it really starts to make a difference.
Couldn't agree more with that. And also in the same vein, I was actually a mom who was comfortable playing. I know everybody's different. It really depends on how you were raised. And I think we're all wired differently. And it's not meant to be judgment. Like I like playing. Like it wasn't a struggle for me to play with my kids. But it's interesting, they're older now and there's not like toys, and they have more responsibilities too with like homework and that sort of thing. And I'm curious if you have any suggestions on creative ways to make sure that we're still playing with older kids, because it's easy to just not, you know, sometimes my daughter will have something after school or hang out with her friends after school and then have homework and then dinner. And I'm like, should we play a game? I don't know. So I'm all ears because it's a value of mine and I want to keep that going, but it's just it's a transitionary time for older kids.
I agree. And my son will turn 13 this year. So we're getting into the teenage years. And I do see the difference between like the younger years and now it is more the hangout time. And I love that, like for him, he will still, I don't know how much longer I've got with him, but before bedtime wants to like just pour his soul out to me when the lights go out. But I think that still making intentional time, my kids know that I try to do they call it my inner play. So for our family, I think still getting to connect on the things that are important to them is a little bit trickier. It causes me to learn more about Star Wars than I ever thought I needed to know. But it does allow us to connect on that level. So for us and our family, what I've just kind of tried to be intentional on is my other son that's going to try out for the basketball team, playing basketball, because that's something that matters to him, and really learning about the things and being curious about the things that they like. I have found that really kind of makes a huge difference, because we are all different and we're not all going to have the same interests. But I think that if you can play with them on their level, that's been helpful, because they get to be the experts and kind of teach me. And then they think it's hilarious that I don't know what they're talking about. So I'm like, you got to teach me about all those things. So we had an opportunity as a family to go to Disneyland last week, and we got back halfway through the week. So we had the chance to go to the Star Wars World, and they were just like telling me all about it. I'm like, I don't know what any of this stuff is, but they were just all lit up. And so we got to go on the Millennium Falcon ride, and I got to be the pilot. And in that moment, like one of my sons, because you get to choose the roles that you are on that ride, and it's like a simulation. So it's really very cool. So he wanted to be one of the shooters, I think. So he had me be the pilot, and then the rest of us were spread out. And I got to take them to light speed. I think jump to light speed. Anyway, it's this phrase that I'm supposed to use, but it was really fun. And I found myself just laughing with how fun it was, because they were so delighted, and it's just contagious. And so I think even though it was not like an interest of mine, I have now watched all of the Star Wars movies, but I found myself just as excited, even though it's really just not something that's my thing. It was so fun to be with them in that moment because it is contagious. And then you're co-regulating off of each other. So just that playfulness, it's contagious the other way too. So I think paying attention to their interests, that was probably my long way of answering that, it really does end up filling my cup too, because yeah, I have now found all, I'm glad you have always known that value of play. And for me coming home to it, it's just fun, even when it's not your strong interest.
I agree. And I something that's coming up for me as you're talking about taking a trip, I think something I am learning and having to remind myself right now is sometimes a change of scenery, like getting out of the house, can be a powerful way to create that sense of connection and play. I think it's easy for moms to fall into multitasking or like half listening, half doing the dishes. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody, but sometimes if I'm feeling like one of my kids is, I don't know, just not acting like she normally does around me, I usually see it as a sign that she could benefit from connection. And I try to make a point to just doing something even small outside of the house. And that's helped me. So I just want to share that as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's super relevant because I think that as you're watching your kids kind of go through all the stages that they're going to go through and they're going to pick up the tools or whatever to build their survival set and egos and things, keeping them to have kind of that playful attitude or like a growth mindset that no matter what the activity is that they like or the thing that they're really into right now, that allowing it to be fun and not to have it be too serious. And I know that there's lots of people who want to make all kinds of decisions in terms of like sports teams, and it can get really serious with all the activities that our kids are in. But I think keeping it playful and letting our kids try things to figure out what it is that they really like can also be helpful, that I've noticed that with my own family.
Oh gosh, you're speaking my language there. I try not to get stressed out about the sports situation, but it really breaks my heart how much pressure is put on kids at a younger and younger age. And I like to say to my kids, the verb is play. Play sports, you know, first and foremost. And you tell me, you're the school psychologist, you tell me if you would do anything differently. But my, I guess, way of showing up there is kind of following their lead. And if they really want to try out and get more competitive, I'll support them. But if they just want to play something because they want to play it in the alley, I just am like, great. If you're enjoying yourself and moving, that's enough. It doesn't have to be competing or building to some big high school or college sport, you know?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in letting kids try things. We did piano for one summer, and then next year it's going to be, he's going to be doing trumpet, and my other son's going to try out for basketball, and my daughter is dabbling with dance versus does she want to go into cheerleading? So it's like letting them try things and figure out where they fit. To me, it's just helpful. I think it teaches us too that it, as adults, that we can try things that are new and different. In fact, that was something that last year, I always encourage them to try a new thing over the summer. They have all this time and we try to do things, but also have lots of downtime too over the summer. And so as I'm signing them up for little classes and things during the summer to try, I was like, why don't I do that too? And I ended up signing up for adult tap dancing, which I had never taken tap dance. So that was a new thing. But I was like, I'm always encouraging them to do it. And I realized like showing up and I was like the worst one in the room because everybody else had tap danced before. But it was so good for me to just get outside of my comfort zone and do something fun and something that I had always wanted to try too. And that I expect of my kids to try new things. And then here I am. I going to do it too? Am I going to try something new? So that was beneficial for me.
I love that. I'm sure that was beneficial for you, and also your family's watching you. So way to go. I think that's super cool. I know we're coming up on time. I feel like we've covered a lot of rich territory. I just want to circle back and just in terms of this whole idea of bringing play back into our adult lives as women, is there any other messages or tips that are on your heart that you want to make sure you cover?
I mean, I think we've talked about so much, but I think that even if you can find 5 minutes to play, it actually doesn't sound like very much time. But if you're not used to it, that actually is a long time. You have to stop. You have to pause. You have to check in with yourself and figure out what would really resonate, whether it's just looking at the clouds to find some cloud animals or going outside at night to look at the stars. Those things are available to all of us, no matter where we live and depending on the weather. But it sounds so simple, but there's a lot of steps to it. And to take the time to do that, it requires really showing up intentionally for yourself. So I think that if everyone can just spend 5 minutes a day checking in with themselves to play, it'd make a big difference. So that's my message.
I love that message. And I love that you ritualize it and just intertwine it in our day-to-days. That's lovely. I always end my episodes by giving listeners a chance for reflection. Maybe it's something to journal about or ask themselves, or even a question they could talk to someone they care about, just to have that deeper, more meaningful conversation that I think a lot of women yearn for. So in the area of play or creative recovery or raising kids who remember how to play, what's one question women could be asking themselves more?
I would say checking back in with who were you before the world told you who you were? Who were you? What was that child like? And what did that child like to do? What were those passions? I think that's a great place to start, because from there, it could go in so many different directions. But I think staying connected to that child that we all have, that's where I would go.
Love that. I know that my listeners would love to follow you and learn more. So where's the best place to find you, Jonna?
So on Instagram, you can find me at Jonna_Watson. And my podcast is The 5 Minute Inner Child. So you can find that on any of the platforms, Apple, Spotify. And I do have an Instagram for that too, 5 Minute Inner Child Podcast on Instagram. So I'd love to connect, and yeah, it'd be great to talk to your listeners.
Great. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Whitney.
I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at Whitney Woman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.